Won't be long, Mike.
Cool.
So let's get this straight once and for all. The lines are now closed for our Glenn Miller competition.
Definitely closed, so please don't ring.
We have another competition in this half hour of the programme, and that's to win a DVD of the film Anger Management, which is out now on DVD and video. Talking of anger management, it's Anger Management Week. With us, Mike Fisher, the founder of the British Association of Anger Management and a trained anger management instructor. Mike joins us from our London studio now. Mike, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Mike.
A great film, but apart from that, a real problem, isn't it, anger management, for a lot of people?
It certainly is. And one of the nice things about the film, really, is that it starts to give the culture an opportunity to look at passive-aggressive behaviour, which is a very different way of looking at anger.
But don't take this the wrong way, but we tend to think of anger management as one of these things that's come up in the last couple of years, like road rage and things like that. But it's not, is it? It's just that really we've started giving them names, I suppose. Mm. Sure.
Is it what your mum used to say years ago, Mike? You know, you need to control that temper.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in fact, in my family, there was no anger, is the truth of it. I mean, when I say no anger, I'm saying it wasn't any overt anger. So it was all passive-aggressive anger. So my real experience with anger was only in my late teens and in my young adult years. But in my early childhood years, absolutely no experience of overt anger whatsoever.
You better tell us the difference between overt and passive-aggressive.
Sure. Well, I mean, essentially, what you have is somebody who's very verbally abusive and very aggressive, very hostile. You know, who's potentially dangerous and violent.
And so you can see it in some people. You can see like a coiled spring, can't you? Just waiting for a fight or waiting to have a row with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we call the exploder. And then what you have is the imploder, the individual who takes their anger and they turn it in on themselves. They swallow their anger whole and they're passive aggressive. So they're the kind of individuals who are very controlling, withholding, manipulative and secretive. And, you know, the classic examples would be graffiti. That's a lovely example. Or somebody who steals stationery material from the stationery cupboard. Someone who lies about being ill and not being at work. Somebody who abuses the internet during their working hours. So that's kind of passive-aggressive behavior, talking behind other people's back, making cynical, sarcastic remarks with a smile on their face. But really, it's a kind of a...
Well, that's a social...
Do you know that? That's fascinating, because I never would have associated any of those things you've mentioned with anger.
Exactly.
Not at all. Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the movie, because the movie gives us, as a culture, the first opportunity to really start to say, hey, hold on a second, what is going on here?
Is it easy to, I mean, this is a $10 million question, I know, Mike. Is it easy for you to say what causes this anger? Is it a frustration of some kind?
Well, in its most essential form, what you've got is when an individual's primary needs aren't met, that's what causes anger, that's what triggers anger. So we're talking about when an individual doesn't feel valued or respected or appreciated or recognized or encouraged or held or listened to or seen. So as soon as that starts to happen, that sends a signal to the old brain and that triggers anger, and then the individual comes out of their corner fighting.
But how can that explain, well, for instance, there's been a lot of sports people in the news recently, mostly footballers, because they can't control their anger. How do you explain that? Because they've got plenty of money, they're valued, they're listened to. In fact, they're treated like prima donnas. How do you explain that anger?
Well, you could say that's legalized anger. That anger is okay because it's actually controlled in a controlled environment on the football pitch. And also in a situation like that, there has to be a lot of anger because in that adrenalized state, that's what actually makes a team as successful as they can be, but it's contained in its controlled anger. And that the anger, the positive anger, is used to win.
Can you inherit anger if you're brought up in an angry environment? Can you become an angry person?
That's a really good question, yeah. I mean, all behavior is learned. So what happens is our parents model behavior. You know, I was saying to you earlier on is, with me, I didn't actually see healthy anger being expressed, so I became passive-aggressive. Mm. I became afraid of anger. But sure, I mean, a lot of clients that we work with in our programs actually learn the behavior from their parents, and in a way they get the signals that it's really, really okay when it's not.
Yeah.
Is it a case of not knowing how to communicate or not knowing how to communicate in the right way? Is it as basic as that?
I think it's as basic, and it's both. Not knowing how to communicate and not knowing how to communicate in the right way. And also, of course, it has to do with if I'm comfortable with my anger, then I forget about my feelings of sadness or hurt or shame or fear. And the default feeling becomes anger. That's the one I use to express, even though I might feel sad or hurt or scared, you're going to experience my anger rather than the rest of my feelings.
Are there people who are angry but don't know why they're angry?
We get a lot of people in our programs that sit in our programs saying, you know, I feel so angry. I've always been angry and I have no idea whatsoever. And it's very, very common. They sit in our programs saying things like, you know, I'm here because I want to find out why I'm angry. And essentially we say the reason you're angry is because your primary needs haven't been met and you don't know what your primary needs are. And as an adult, you've got to start meeting them yourself. So we teach them that.
So primary needs, you're not valued, you're not listened to, you're not taken seriously. Are they the primary needs?
Yeah, those are the primary needs. And, you know, we give simple examples. We ask people to give us an example of a recent angry situation, and we get the rest of the group to identify what was the primary need that wasn't met. And it's easy to identify, you know, as the second or the third person. But while in the moment of being angry, that's not what I'm thinking of. All I'm wanting to do is to tear your throat out.
Yeah. So what do you do with people who need to manage their anger? Mm. And I know, again, I'm asking you to do your life's work in 10 seconds.
That's but no problem.
Does it involve retraining them to, when they feel angry, press their thumbs together? Or is it, you know, we see that in films, don't we?
What we do is we teach 6 basic rules of anger management, and I'll spin them out very quickly.
Thank you.
One is it's okay to have a different opinion. 2 is to stop, think, take a look at the big picture. 3 is to listen. 4 is to keep a journal. 5 is to actually have a support network that you'll see in the anger management movie, Anger Buddies or Anger Angels. And 6 is don't take anything personally. Those are the basic rules that we teach, and people use those rules, and it transforms their life.
This sounds too good to be true. They're hard to follow, aren't they?
That last one especially, don't take anything personally.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they're easy to spin out, but in fact, to actually apply them can actually take years to get to the point where you have your anger under control.
You know, they say things about things like certain foods, like sugar and salt and things. It's bad for you in excess, but a little bit's okay. Is it the same with anger? Do you need a bit to be healthy?
We're not saying that you need to get rid of your anger. We're saying that there is such a thing as healthy present tense anger, being able to say that I feel angry in the moment and tell you what I need in the moment and then move on. So anger is, in a healthy context, really, really useful. It changes lives, transforms relationships, it creates intimacy, but it needs to be expressed in a healthy and appropriate way.
That's right, but it is much easier to be angry and to be bad, to smash something, to kick something, to hit something, than to actually sit down and talk and work your way through your problems, your anger problems, isn't it?
Well, what we say is, you know, it starts out as doors, other people's motor cars, the cupboard, windows, glass, and then it moves into people's faces, people's bodies, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So when I'm actually punching and inanimate objects, actually I'm self-harming.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh. It's weird when you think
of
it like
deep,
that.
Isn't it?
It is, yeah. Very deep.
Is it Gosh. As bad then to keep all your anger in?
Not at all.
We hear of these people who do keep it all in and end up with something like an ulcer or something.
Absolutely. Well, in fact, if one of the things that we say is that depression is anger turned inwards. So I know that if I stuff my anger over a couple of hours, it's only a matter of time before I become depressed. So it's not about keeping anger in. It's about expressing appropriate anger. It's about being able to say to somebody, I feel really angry with you because I need you to respect me. I need you to value me. I need you to appreciate me.
We all have the potential for this, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I have said to my sons are grown up now, but I have said to my sons in the past, you know, I do love you, but at this particular moment, I don't like you. And I didn't feel guilty by saying that. I felt better for saying that.
Yeah. In fact, it's about reprimanding the behavior, not the person. Mm. It's about acknowledging that the behavior is inappropriate and not that the person's inappropriate.
Why are you the founder of this association? Did you have a problem yourself?
I like the question. Yeah, I sure had a problem myself. I mean, I come from that imploder background. So I used to stuff my anger. And then I learned how to explode, communicate my feelings. But in fact, I went to the other extreme and I noticed things like people were disrespecting me. People were afraid of me. People were kind of moving out of my intimate circle. And I realized that was totally inappropriate, but I was completely out of control because I was enjoying the power that it gave me, but I wasn't considering the consequences. So I had to find a way of living between imploding and exploding, and that's where I am now, where I know how to contain my feelings of anger, and I also know how to be assertive with my anger. And that's
what were you doing at your, I hate to say at your lowest point, because that's a bit dramatic, but how were you expressing your anger?
You know, I did something very, very destructive, and it was on an ongoing basis. I used to shoot out these very, very angry emails to people. extremely angry emails to very large circles of communities that I was actually working with and I was involved in. And, you know, it was a totally inappropriate way to deal with my anger. But there was I felt at that point there was nothing else I could do.
But there's a good way of doing that. If you do write a nasty, horrible email to somebody and then click delete, you still feel good.
Mm. Well, that's what I've had to do, is to write it and then click delete. But I still struggle with that today.
Yeah.
Is it a power trip? Is anger a power trip? Is it a way to control people?
It sure is. It is about it's about power and control. It's about having power over people. All abusive anger is about having power and control over people, other people. And part of it's because I don't feel like I have any control in my own life. So if I feel impotent, or psychologically impotent, of course, if I feel helpless and powerless, and one of the things I've recently noticed is men who feel obsolete, they really come out of their corner fighting as a way of asserting themselves in the world, and the behavior just gets them into more trouble.
You know, that word assertive, it's very, very important, because a lot of people don't understand what it means. They think assertive is, you know, being powerful and shouting and being in control, but it's being quietly in control, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the movie Anger Management, you see Adam Sandler going from being very, very passive-aggressive and then starting to take charge of his life. But also, you know, in the movie, you see how he goes to the extreme and he becomes violent. That, of course, is inappropriate anger. Mm. But the task really is to be able to communicate my feelings in an assertive way, in a very firm way, without coming across as angry, although somebody else might experience you as angry in that moment.
It's interesting that you like the film, because for a change, Hollywood have got it right, haven't they?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I first saw the movie, I really loved it, because a lot of the concepts and ideas that they were sharing are based on a colleague of mine who lives in LA, who was the consultant on the movie. So it was great to see how some of that material was coming through. But what was most fascinating was where they had really focused. I loved it because a lot of the concepts and ideas that they were sharing are based on a colleague of mine who lives in LA, who was the consultant on the movie. So it was great to see how some of that material was coming through. But what was most fascinating was where they had really focused on this notion of passive aggression, and the writer himself.
Is it basically you first have to like yourself, or you've got to learn to like yourself? Is that right?
Yeah, the issues around low self-esteem. So if you have low self-esteem problems, that's when your anger becomes out of control. So it's about not only liking yourself and loving yourself, but it's identifying what you need, what your primary needs are, and making sure that you get them met as an adult. And then you'll start to like yourself and love yourself.
Do you know, this is so important for parents, isn't it, Mike? Because, you know, you have to encourage and make your children believe in themselves, haven't you? If you tell someone they're worthless, they grow up believing
it.
Is it basically you first have to like yourself, or you've got to learn to like yourself? Is that right?
Yeah, the issues around low self-esteem. So if you have low self-esteem problems, that's when your anger becomes out of control. So it's about not only liking yourself and loving yourself, but it's identifying what you need, what your primary needs are, and making sure that you get them met as an adult. And then you'll start to like yourself and love yourself.
Do you know, this is so important for parents, isn't it, Mike? Because, you know, you have to encourage and make your children believe in themselves, haven't you? If you tell someone they're worthless, they grow up believing
it.
Is it basically you first have to like yourself, or you've got to learn to like yourself? Is that right?
Yeah, the issues around low self-esteem. So if you have low self-esteem problems, that's when your anger becomes out of control. So it's about not only liking yourself and loving yourself, but it's identifying what you need, what your primary needs are, and making sure that you get them met as an adult. And then you'll start to like yourself and love yourself.
Do you know, this is so important for parents, isn't it, Mike? Because, you know, you have to encourage and make your children believe in themselves, haven't you? If you tell someone they're worthless, they grow up believing
it. And that's the...
Is it basically you first have to like yourself, or you've got to learn to like yourself? Is that right?
Yeah, the issues around low self-esteem. So if you have low self-esteem problems, that's when your anger becomes out of control. So it's about not only liking yourself and loving yourself, but it's identifying what you need, what your primary needs are, and making sure that you get them met as an adult. And then you'll start to like yourself and love yourself.
Do you know, this is so important for parents, isn't it, Mike? Because, you know, you have to encourage and make your children believe in themselves, haven't you? If you tell someone they're worthless, they grow up believing
it.
Is it basically you first have to like yourself, or you've got to learn to like yourself? Is that right?
Yeah, the issues around low self-esteem. So if you have low self-esteem problems, That's when your anger becomes out of control. So it's about not only liking yourself and loving yourself, but it's identifying what you need, what your primary needs are, and making sure that you... Cool. Great. Can I get a local massage around here? No, seriously, that's a serious question.
There's a place called Relax, which is just about four doors down.
No.
Seriously.
Really?
Seriously.
I can get a massage there.
Yeah, if you go in there, I don't think you have to have an appointment either. And you can sort of, you know, you can watch through the window.
Oh, excellent. Mm. Excellent.
Hello, studio, can you hear me? Seamus. They're just getting in there now. Can I ask you as well, just when you're talking, just to sit slightly back from the mic because you were popping slightly.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I just get so excited, you see.
It's natural.
Cool. What I was saying was, can you supply me with a CD of this? Is that...
Yeah, I can't see why not.
Yeah. Rather than
I'm
audio.
Recording it onto here, so yeah, I can burn it off.
Yeah?
Yeah, shouldn't be a problem.
Lovely.
No
just
problem.
It would be nice to just put it onto our website.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't see why not.
Stream it on our website.
Mm. Yes. Hey? Oh, sorry, Anna, I've got my mic up. You can't hear a thing, can you? They can hear you now, by the way, if I put this down.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Hi, Belfast here. We're just getting the presenter into the studio now.
Hey, cool. What's just remind me of some of the other radio stations in Ireland.
South or north? I mean, because Ulster's kind of the main thing.
Yeah. No.
In the north, you've got Q97.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of the south, but
Then you have Red FM.
Yeah,
you have 98 FM.
Yeah, that's the one I did a program with.
98.
Yeah.
They're great. They're really good. We do a lot with a girl named Claire there. She's fantastic. She does lots of
stuff. Just remind me of some of the announcers at really, really popular talk.
Just
talk show host.
Jerry Ryan.
Yeah. Who said that?
Belfast.
Where did that come from?
Belfast.
Jerry Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah, I did a really interesting... I did a program with him, I think it was earlier this year.
Mm. Very chatty man.
Yeah, he was great, actually. He loved the... He loved the kind of initial interview so much, he got me back the following day for an hour to talk about anger management in relation to couples.
Ooh, I could do with a couple hours myself.
I'm sure. And I run this program called When the Hag Meets the Caveman.
Oh, I'm definitely a hag. It was an early morning.
How early?
5.
Oh, God.
Is David on his way? It's just that I've got another one after this.
Yeah, he is on his way.
That's lovely.
It's just walking from his office up to the studio here.
Right, Come on, David.
Sorry, I'm in the middle of a scone here.
What's the listenership on your program? How many you got this?
I have no idea, but it's about the most listened to program we have on the station.
Oh, fantastic. Actually, we have a woman who's trained by us in Ireland in anger management. She lives in Belfast.
Ooh.
God, don't ask me her name.
You're all right. I'm sure I wouldn't know her. If I knew her, I'd be round at her house.
No, you would know her, actually. You would know her. She's been around the work. She's been teaching yoga and stress management for years. Ooh. Everybody I speak to in Ireland, certainly in the personal development circles, know her.
All right. Well, David's just sat down.
Okay, cool.
So, away you go.
Where are we?
Morning, David.
Just been on the headphones.
Good morning. Is that Mike?
Hi, good morning.
It's David here.
Hi, good morning.
How are things with you?
I'm a happy little bunny this morning, I am.
Good. I like that.
How are you?
Happy in a Monday morning.
Can you believe it?
Well, let's talk about this anyhow. Anger Management Week. What's this all about? Well, I mean, why do we need to manage anger? Surely everybody is sort of their own way of doing this sort of thing, haven't they?
Well, anger at this point is out of control. In fact, 80% of people in the UK and Ireland think that anger is on the increase in our culture. So, and you can see this, you know, you can see this in our daily lives. So it is important to manage it.
Right. How do we define anger? It sounds like you're using a pretty broad brush.
Sure. Let me keep it really simple. The way we define it is we say that anger will always tell us that something is not quite right. So we might experience it as a physiological symptom. We'll feel it in our bodies. And then we'll feel that adrenaline rush, and eventually we'll explode in anger. But what's important is that there is distinctions between anger, aggression, hostility, and then, of course, rage, fury, violence. So these distinctions need to be recognized. And then at the same time, there is passive aggression anger, and the movie Anger Management really uniquely addresses that. So I can... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that I've heard it said that best perhaps a flash of anger than slow-burning resentment.
You know, there are so many different metaphors to describe the different situations that people actually find themselves in emotionally. So each culture will have their own way of describing what they're feeling. You know, for example, somebody describes in the UK, in some of the programs that we run, is they describe feeling like these red mists are descending on them. So that would be that slow to anger, but then eventually that explosion. So each community has their own definition for that experience.
Well, now, in the workplace, for example, bosses may tend to get angry at times, but I suppose they may feel that, well, we don't have to manage it because we'll have the last word anyway.
Mm.
So that creates a rift between bosses and employees.
Yes, and we call that revenge cycles being set up. So, for example, as a boss or as a manager of people, I have to be very, very sensitive around how I communicate and how I assert my authority and my will on others around me. Because if I do it in a way where they experience it as abusive and disrespectful, then they'll start to act up and they'll start to play out a whole range of different games. And that's where that kind of passive aggression comes in. So for simple examples would be, you know, they'll start stealing more stationery from the stationery cupboard. They'll start taking more time out of work and without you knowing about it. And they'll use a lot more time up on the internet in their personal for their personal emails or their personal projects. They'll start talking behind your back. They'll go slow at work, etc., etc. So it is a really challenging task for managers to recognize that and actually learn how to work with that.
But let's pause and hear a sort of Jack Nicholson approach to anger.
Let me explain something, Dave. There are two kinds of angry people, explosive and implosive. Explosive is the kind of individual that you see screaming at the cashier for not taking their coupons. Implosive is the cashier who remains quiet day after day and finally shoots everyone in the store.
That's my favorite line in the whole movie because it's absolutely true.
Yeah, well, this comes back to the thing I was saying to you earlier about slow-burning resentment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and we were talking about bosses and employees, and, of course, bad management comes into this as well, a failure to communicate. I mean, that can certainly raise the ire of employees and an unwillingness maybe to listen to employees. There are so many angles to this. It seems really difficult to actually contain it, certainly within a brief conversation.
David, you know, I think I really enjoyed the kind of angle that you're coming at because the problem that you have within the context of organizations and in business is that managers of people have to be emotionally intelligent and have emotional literacy. So when I talk about emotional intelligence, I'm really talking about an individual who's in touch with what it is that they're feeling and are able to communicate their feelings and be sufficiently transparent in the workplace in order to support transparency and healthy relationships and healthy communication. If somebody is afraid of speaking up in the workplace, it does mean that they're left with that burning resentment. And you can see how that is being played out on a daily basis. You know, I imagine even listeners, when they listen to this, they recognize this going on in their own lives. So the task of a manager is about becoming emotionally intelligent. The task of a parent is about becoming emotionally intelligent, recognizing what they're feeling and communicating those feelings in ways that are not abusive and aggressive.
Another thing just strikes me, pretty topical stuff, really. Bush is visiting the UK this week, and, well, there are people going to protest. I don't know how many are really angry, but they want to show Mr. Bush what they think. How should you manage something like that if you feel very strongly about a national or international issue?
Well, I'm one of those people that are angry, so that subject's very alive for me. But certainly I will be out there demonstrating, but I certainly won't be doing it in a very aggressive, abusive way. But I really will want to have my voice heard. So I think that if you can do peaceful demonstrations whereby no one is getting hurt as a way of getting the message across, my belief, that's enough. When it starts to become dangerous is when there's actually violence on the streets and people are being highly abusive and very disrespectful. I think that's inappropriate.
Yeah, so you won't be knocking a police officer's helmet off?
No, I certainly won't be. And in fact, I'll do whatever I can to avoid that.
Yeah. We're talking about the Gandhi approach, are we?
The Gandhi approach. Mm. What was that called? That's peaceful resistance.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I think I'd certainly say I'm talking about the Gandhi approach.
Yeah. Very difficult to deal with that, you see. The authorities find it more and more difficult to deal with that sort of peaceful resistance where you just stare at them and you say nothing and you say nice things to them and that's about it. Very difficult to deal with that.
I mean, you're talking about, in a way, kind of compassionate detachment, having empathy for somebody like Bush, which, you know, I've never thought of that myself personally because I'm angry with him. So when I'm angry or when anybody's angry, usually they lack empathy, which I think is a very important point to raise. Because in that moment, you know, in my anger, what I do is I demonize Bush.
Yeah.
And I demonize individuals who I feel threatened by.
Hmm. Well, I don't want to read of you in the press, Mike, having mismanaged your anger during the Bush visit.
No, certainly not.
Okay. Thanks very much, Mike.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. He was good, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
He asked some good questions.
It's nice to get a different angle.
Yeah, very nice.
Okay, we'll be going over to 210.
Nice that he cut that important little piece in as well.
From the film?
Yeah, nice.
They should be through with us any moment. You know how you're saying that, that people lack empathy for people? I find it the opposite way around. I find that, I mean, my mother causes me an awful lot of stress. And I am so paranoid about setting her off that when I'm angry with her, I can't say anything. Because I think it will make her more depressed than she is.
That's, see, there's empathy where I can keep my heart open. Mm. That's, and that is a difficult task anyway for somebody who's angry. What you're talking about is over-identifying with your mother.
Right.
So there's an over-identification with somebody who you're angry with, because it's like the thinking behind that is that if...
They're here. Oh, is that you?
Oh, sorry, I thought we were part of a counselling session.
It was
encroaching on one.
I was getting some free counselling there. Yes, you're quite right.
Oh, that was you.
It was me, yes.
But it was very interesting anyway where it was going. This notion of over-identification.
I might come back to it.
She's a very angry lady, is Victoria.
Thanks, God. Right, all yours.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, good morning.
Good to meet you. You've got Ollie, Guy and Sarah here.
Hello.
There's three of us.
Hi, good morning.
We did the breakfast show on 210 FM, which is Berkshire in North Hampshire.
Good.
Oh, good.
Okay, Guy, Ollie and Sarah. I'm just writing this down.
Ollie, Guy and Sarah, yeah.
Right, so we've got a nice team.
That's right. Got a trio.
Well, that's the theory, anyway.
Trio of angry people. Yeah. So you're the founder of the British Association of Anger Management.
Yeah, that's right.
Who gets angry?
Well, according to recent statistics in Marie Claire, 80% of people in this country recognize that this culture is getting angrier and angrier. But I'd say that everybody that I know and everybody I've ever worked with and everybody I've ever met gets angry in some way or another.
I think that's just the effect you have on the mic.
You know, there might be some truth in that. There might be some truth in that.
Why do you think we are getting more stressed out, though?
For that reason, because we are getting more stressed out. So stress fuels anger. And I think it's personally, I think it's to do with the fact that we live very, very pressurized lives. And we put ourselves under a lot of pressure. And I was thinking recently, I was talking to the publicist this morning about how busy she is. And what I recognize is that some individuals are doing the work of 5 or 10 people. You know, if somebody has a small business, they're usually doing the work of about 16 people. That's what it feels like to me anyway. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure to perform. There's a lot of pressure to be successful, and it evokes stress, and stress evokes anger.
I must admit, in our building here, we've lost members of staff, and they never get replaced. The rest of the work is delegated and sort of spread around everyone else, and I should imagine that probably contributes to it, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, that's what I recognise more and more that is happening.
Do you think at this time of year it's especially worse because you've got the stress of Christmas and you're kind of trundling around the shops and people are mowing you down with their pushchairs and shopping trolleys and stuff? Is it worse at this time of year?
This is my favourite time of year. This is when everybody goes into meltdown and we get numerous calls from people with major anger issues in their life. And it's not like they didn't have an anger issue in, March of this year or June of this year. It's just that everything seems to come to a head around about Christmas for the reasons that you've just described. I mean, it's chaos out there.
What happens if they can't get an appointment with you and they get even more angry?
Well, I don't do much one-to-one work. Actually, what we do is we pile people into our anger management programs. That's the idea. You know, so you can have 10, 15, 20 people sitting in a program over a 10-week period or a weekend period. So usually at this time of the year, it certainly is inclined to fill up more. And, by the time January comes, we pack them in.
So if someone's kind of sitting at the traffic lights this morning on their way to work and kind of gently steaming at the prospect of spending the whole of the day in the office, and they feel angry before they even get there, you know, that feeling before you walk into the office and you're already wound up with the whole thing, is there a kind of quick solution to it? Are there any kind of tips that you can offer, just very simple ones?
Sure. I mean, can I just take it a step back? Because I think that's important. You know, when we talk about road rage... Yeah, what you have is that's accumulative. It didn't start when the individual's standing or sitting at the traffic lights. It started a couple of days before when someone is very, very disrespectful to them or possibly even abusive towards them. And then it built up on the weekend when they had a lot of chaos going on around the kids and the wife or the husband was moaning or groaning. So by the time it comes to Monday morning, I'm sitting quite stressed in my little automobile, vehicle, I then start to brew. So it's not as if it happened as I'm sitting at the traffic lights, and I think that's very important to recognize. That's the first part.
You're a volcano, aren't you, waiting to erupt?
Yes, but it didn't happen when I arrived at the traffic lights. It's been accumulating over a period of time. Eventually, I'll find some excuse to blow, and it might be in the motor car.
But if you'd had a really unstressful weekend and some Volvo cuts you up, you're going to bring that's going to make you angry, though, isn't it?
Well, you might have had a very unstressful weekend, but what about the week before? And what about the week before?
Oh, right.
That's why I'm saying it's accumulative.
Builds up over time,
exactly.
Isn't it?
But having said that, you know, when somebody cuts me off at the traffic light or as I'm just about to turn a corner, sure, that's going to trigger my anger because in that moment, the situation has become dangerous. And the anger that is activated is actually designed to keep me alive. So,
okay, so the people that come into your classes then or your workshops, what do you actually do for them as a whole? How do you turn them into a Will Young as opposed to an Incredible Hulk?
we teach them, you know, what anger is and what anger isn't. We look at some of the anger substitutes, what we express as anger but is actually not anger. We teach them 6 rules of anger management. We teach them how to identify the whole range of feelings and learn how to communicate those feelings as and when those feelings actually come up. We ask them to do things like reality checks. You know, often what happens is that people might say something which I'll take very, very personally. And the question, is this about me? Is this about you? Or is this about us? Because one of the rules of anger management is don't take anything personally. And often we find that people who are angry take everything personally. They have very low self-esteem, lack confidence, and are trigger happy and become very dangerous.
Do people buy into it? Do they listen to what you're saying and does it work?
Well, you've got to understand, by the time people arrive with us, they are desperate, yeah? They'll jump right through any hoop that they can to sort their lives out. They don't come when they're mildly angry. They don't come when they're very angry. They come when their lives are in meltdown. That's when they come. And you know what's very interesting is that, as you know, this is National Anger Awareness Week, and it also coincides with the launch of the anger management movie. And that's really interesting. In the context of the movie, what you have is you have an individual who's passive-aggressive. So there's a lot of anger out there that we don't see as, you know, verbal abuse or physical in any way, but it's passive in its nature. So that means things like individuals being sarcastic, being cynical, individuals writing graffiti on walls, damaging private property, stealing from the office stationery cupboard, using the internet for their own. Yeah, did you recognize that?
Yeah.
Using their office hours to surf the net, send out personal emails, take time off work, arrive late, leave early. That's passive-aggressive anger. It's very secretive, it's very controlling, very withholding, and very manipulative. And so you've got that kind of anger coupled with the kind of anger that we're talking about, that aggressive, verbally abusive anger. So we're working with two types of individuals, and it's, you know, it's very challenging to find a way of weaving these two imploder and exploder components together so that when everybody leaves, they really, really understand the mechanics of anger.
How long have you been doing this for, Mike?
The British Association was set up 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago. I've worked with over 4,000 people. I mean, we're extremely, extremely busy, as you can imagine. But I've been working as a counselor and psychotherapist and group facilitator for about 12 years now. And also, I think it's important to know that I do come from an angry background, so I'm not coming to the work from a theoretical or academic paradigm. I'm really coming to it because I really struggle with my own anger.
Do you think if you'd have got to Bruce Banner all those years ago, you might have been able to stop the Incredible Hulk?
good question. Oh, God, no, I don't think I can even answer that, actually, is the truth of it.
What about, do you think you'd be able to have a look at Tommy, Katie's dad, in Coronation Street, because he's getting pretty stressed out?
I'm sure that I can manage Tommy.
Good.
Well, Andy's got a problem with Alfie Moon in EastEnders at the moment. Can we perhaps send you to him as well to have a word with him?
Absolutely. But the Hulk is a different story. I mean, I think we need neurobiology to deal with him.
All right.
Fair enough.
Well, in the wake of the movie coming out on DVD and video, Anger Management, it's been interesting talking to you.
Good.
Thank you for sharing some of your tips and your experiences with us.
Thank you.
And I think that as we were speaking to you, we've all been very well behaved, because normally we're shouting and
yeah.
each other, so I hope it's worked.
Well, you know what I imagine is that because the subject is so interesting, everybody gets in the grip of it and says, hey, yeah, I recognise that. Oh, I know what that feels like. Oh, yeah, I'm kind of getting this. So it becomes transfixing.
Good talking to you, Mike Fisher. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Cheers, buddy.
Thanks, Mike. Okay. Thank you very
bye-bye.
Much.
Bye-bye. Great,
cool. Bye-bye. Are we done, then?
You're a free man.
Cool. Cool. Great. Can I get a local massage around here? No, seriously, that's a serious question.
There's a place called Relax, which is just about four doors down.
No.
Seriously.
Really?
Seriously.
I can get a massage there.
Yeah, you can go in there. I don't think you have to have an appointment either. And you can sort of, you know, you can watch through the windows.
Oh, excellent. No. That as well. Cool. Great. Can I get a local massage around here? No, seriously, that's a serious question.
There's a place called Relax, which is just about four doors down.
No.
Seriously.
Really?
Seriously.
I can get a massage there.
Yeah, you can go in there. I don't think you have to have an appointment either. And you can sort of, you know, you can watch through the windows.
Oh, excellent.